In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Well, it's great to be able to welcome you here on Christmas Day. If you're a visitor, then an extra special warm welcome to you as you join with us as we come to celebrate the birth of Jesus. What a fantastic experience it is to wake up today and to know that this is not just another day. It's not just another Christmas, but it is time for us to pause and to reflect and celebrate the Son of God being born as a man and coming into this earth. So for those that don't know me, my name's Luke Radford. I'm one of the deacons here in the church, and we'll be taking our service if I can remember all the bits that I need to include. We're going to start by lighting our Advent candles. Now, Alaris and Claire, are you going to come and join me to help? So we light the first Advent candle to remind us of the Advent hope that Jesus is coming again. Hold on, then you have to light the second. We light the second Advent candle to remind us of God's gift of the Bible. The Bible points us to Jesus, the light of the world. We light the third Advent candle to remind us of John the Baptist and all of God's messengers who prepare the way of the Savior's coming. And then we light the fourth Advent candle to remind us of our calling to reflect the light of Jesus in this dark world. And then, Lars, do you want to say a little bit?
Go on. We light this Christmas candle to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. A boy has been born for us, a son given to us. Glory to God in highest heaven. Peace upon us amongst people of goodwill.
Thank you. So let's stand together as we sing, "Come and Join the Celebration."
Join the celebration. It's a very special day.
a seat and we'll pray. Lord God, we thank you for an opportunity to come on this Christmas day to pause and to reflect and to acknowledge that you sent your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, that it is his birth that we celebrate. Father God, we pray for those that are not here, perhaps friends and family that we've not been able to travel and see, who perhaps are unwell, those of the church family that are in hospital and stuck at home. May they, Lord, feel you close by them today. Father, we pray for those for whom today is just another day of having to go and to work. We think of those who are in hospitals and our emergency services, those that serve overseas in armed forces, those, Lord, who have other jobs that require them to get up and go and do their work. May they too experience something of you on this Christmas day, as we so often benefit from their acts of service to us. Father, as we look around this world that you have created, the world which you have loved, we share in the sadness of seeing war and famine. We pray, Lord, that you would be at work in those countries that today seem to have no hope, amongst those people who have absolutely nothing. Father, may you bring something of your light into those dark situations. We pray for organizations like Mercy Ships, for the Children's Society, for Samaritans, for Operation Christmas Child, who try and bring something of your love and your hope. May you bless and encourage them, particularly today. And Lord, we also remember those for whom there is a place missing and empty at the table. That first Christmas without a loved one, without a dear friend, without somebody who has been there for so long. May you be a God of real and genuine comfort. That you wouldn't be a distant God who is of stories of old, but that you would be living and real in each of our lives. Father God, we thank you that we can say Happy Christmas because you have given us cause to celebrate together. We pray that you'd be with us this morning as we reflect on the words of your Bible and that you would speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen indeed. That's good to hear. At least somebody's still awake. So, I suspect that maybe one or two of you have had a Christmas present already this morning. I'm not sure. So, if you would like to come, and I think Simon instigated a very good rule of on the carpet, not the steps, and you'd like to come and share what presents you've got, then why don't you come forward? And Shami, I'll see if I can still sit down. What do we have this morning? Who's going to start me off? What have you got, Samuel?
A harmonica.
A harmonica. Do we know whether it works or not?
It does work.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Do you think we just need to check again?
Yeah.
Let's just check that it's still working. Beautiful. That is a lovely sound. Could have been a recorder. I think the harmonica is probably a better option. Somebody's done well there. Keres, what have you got?
I got Aurora, you might know her.
Ah, Sleeping Beauty. Is she awake yet? Or is she still asleep? She doesn't need her prince to come and kiss her. It's always handy. Oh, that's exciting.
And she comes with pretty shoes.
She comes with essential. They are.
And her can I
changing colour dress? I suspect Jonathan had his hand in that. Look at those. They're incredible. Marks and Spencer's sell shoes just like that, see? So maybe for next Christmas. What have you got? You've been attacked by a raccoon or something. No? What's that?
So,
that's not a scarf, that's a raccoon. Are you sure?
My mum bought me this, and it's got a hole that you thread one end through.
Oh, genius. Ah, so you can actually put your scarf around without any problems there, and something else in the bumblebee.
And I got Hatchimals, so...
Hatchimals.
Come with a nest and the rest of them, and most of them come in
eggs. The essential Christmas present. What have you got?
I've got
A ninja? I've got a nanji. Is that similar? I'm not allowed to do that joke, apparently. Ruth's mum, for those that don't know, is called Nanji, and she can explain later, but it sounds quite similar to ninja, doesn't it? But that's a very good ninja. What have you got, Gabriel?
Penguin.
A penguin. Wow. A baby penguin. Will it grow up to be a big penguin? An emperor, very specific. That's very nice, isn't it? Is he nice and soft? Another penguin as well. You've got a whole family of penguins.
I got three penguins.
Three penguins. Excuse me. I see Daddy's had a Christmas haircut. You've left one at home. Oh, wow. Clara, what have you got? Who's that? I can't remember. Bing. Bing. What? Oh, Bing's exciting. You've got a whole bundle of something. What's in there?
A blanket.
A blanket. That is a massive blanket. Is that for snuggling under? Wow. Can we see the full extent of the blanket? Oh, wow. Are you going to stand up and share everybody so they can see? That's incredible. That looks lovely and soft. What have you got over here, boys?
A camera.
A camera for catching. And a book. What's your book? The Night Before Christmas. Oh, wow. Can you read it? I actually need to get Grandma to read it to you.
One more thing.
Oh, a map. Now, you've got some stickers on your map.
Yeah, because we know when you went.
So you know where you've been? Can I have a look, please? That's exciting. So you've been to all these places. You've been to Newbury, or is that in Basingstoke? Not quite sure. You've been to near London as well. And all the way out to St. David's. That's a long way to go, isn't it? Almost need an aeroplane to get out there. And look, up to Preston as well. That's exciting. You're going to carry on visiting lots of places. And you can get a sticker to each one. What a genius idea. It's for the teachers. Pardon? You've got a candle or you want a candle? Well, unfortunately, I think the candles are for grown-ups. Is there anybody who's not shown me what they've got? Oh, you haven't shown me. What have you got? Hello. Super exciting, colossal creature count. Have we counted all the creatures this morning? Down the River Nile? Nile monitors. That should keep somebody nice and quiet, hopefully for at least 10 minutes. How exciting. Anybody else want to come and show me what you've got? Tom's got a Gabriel. He's handy. Danek, do you want to come and show me what you've got? No? Do you want to come and show me what you've got? I've had my breakfast, I don't bite. No, there's another kind of princess fairy creature thing. Not quite there with it. Right, well, it sounds like you've had some exciting things. Yeah. And what we're going to do is, do you want to sit on the steps and look that way? You've got a man attached to your foot. And we're going to sing Away in a Manger, but with some slightly different words. So if the children want to sit on the steps, then... The second, we're only going to sing two verses. The second verse, we've changed the words slightly, so pay attention to the screen. Don't just sing what you know, but do pay attention, and let's stand up together as we sing Away in a Manger.
In the
our children.
Father God, we thank you for the gift of each of these children. We thank you for the joy that they bring. We pray for their parents, that they would have your wisdom, that they would be able to share your love with them. That, Lord, as a church, we would be able to show how much you love them. And as we teach them about what the Bible says, that they would come to know you as well. Lord, we thank you for the gift of a child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can come again. I'm going to read again from the Bible and just a few verses from John chapter 3 and verse 13 says this. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We'll have a little think about those verses in a moment, but let's stand again to sing Joy to the World. Please take a seat. And you see, the problem with going last on the run of our Christmas services is that everybody else had a chance to use up your best ideas. But as they say, copying from one person is plagiarism. Copying from everybody, that's research. So consider this a very well-researched talk. And since it's Christmas, there is also that space for some last-minute preparations. Well, the National Trust very kindly provided a little inspiration when we went down to Mottisfont on Friday. At the start of Mottisfont's Christmas trail, there was an opportunity to take a little slip of paper like this and to add your Christmas wish to what I think is a pheasant's tail. Well, here are some of the ones that I spotted that people had added. I'm going to have to look at the screen. I can't really see them. You might not be able to either. There we go. So this one says, I wish that I'll get all the presents I would like. Covering the bases there, I think. That's good. Here's the second one. I wish for a new football and to be rich. Kind of the extremes of the scale, perhaps. And the next one. That Ella would love Marshall and Chase. Quite a cryptic message there. I'm not sure whether they're real people or just from the cartoons. A slightly more ambitious one. I will get gold in the 200-meter butterfly and represent Eastleigh in a word I can't read. But obviously somebody is swimming and wanting to do well in their swimming. For our cat to be healthy and happy. A Power Rangers sword from Tom. I wish I could fly and make my cat come alive again. Again, ambitious and perhaps, you know, sort of, you know, just whether the flying and cats coming back to life are connected, not quite sure. Ethan, I like Ethan. I would like a new bike, please. I don't think Ethan wrote his own Christmas wish. And these are the last two. Oh, two scary people say, Lair's just saying she would like to build a snowman. Sadly, no snow. And Chloe wanted another Christmas tree. Obviously not satisfied with the Christmas tree that we've already got, but wanted another Christmas tree. So I wonder what it is that makes Christmas, Christmas. Is it just a time for wishing and hoping that things will happen or that gifts will be given? Or is there more than that? Well, if you're with us back in the end of November at our open house service, then we thought about some of the things that makes Christmas, Christmas. I've kept it so neatly. Here are some of the things that we can remember. Some fantastic drawing there. Say, we've got family, candles, we've got our candles, presents for the baby Jesus, Christmas trees, more presents, Father Christmas, turkey. Who's got the turkey in the oven? Who's hoping that the oven's going to come on to cook the turkey? Crackers and tinsel. So lots of things that we perhaps associate with Christmas, and it was good to think about that as we were together. I wonder what it is that would be on your list of what makes Christmas, Christmas. Now, with the people I work with, we've been doing some training recently, and we got the teams to think about that question. What would make Christmas, Christmas? Don't say civil servants don't work hard. And this is some of the things that they came up with. A holiday, going to the pub, having some wine and some beer, presents, family, cake, church, crackers, snow, Christmas dinner, Santa. We've got quite similar things here. Decorations, a tree, friends, the open fire, pudding, carols. Lots and lots of different things that people think make Christmas, Christmas. Now, that's quite a long list. I think you'll agree. That's quite a lot to cram in onto just one day. And I suspect a little bit like Christmas itself, not everybody is going to agree with what makes Christmas, Christmas. Could it still be Christmas if we took some of those things away? Well, we use a technique to try and make those lists a little bit more manageable. We visit and we make use of Moscow. So for those that have far more interesting jobs than I do, Moscow tells us that we need to think about the things that we must have, the things that we should have, the things that we could have, and also we can occasionally have things that we won't have at all. And so we took Moscow to our Christmas, and this is what happened. We said, well, there are a few things that we could have, like decorations and a tree, perhaps the open fire, perhaps even snow. But, well, if those things didn't happen, it might still be possible to be Christmas. They said, well, we still kind of like these things. They really should be there, but again, not essential. The pudding, wine and beer, holiday, cake. Well, we can put those to one side as well. So what is it that we're actually left with? Family, dinner, church, and presents were the four things that people decided needed to be there for Christmas to be Christmas. I wonder what it is that is top of your list for the things that you want it to be Christmas. What is that essential thing that makes today Christmas Day and not just Monday? Well, given that you're here in church, then I'm guessing that at least some of you would have included coming to church somewhere in that top list. Either that, or you're not where you thought you were. There are lots of things, aren't there, that we may associate with Christmas, but actually most of them feature somewhere else in the course of the year on special occasions. Though oddly, the things that this team of people decided to put right down at the bottom of the list are things that actually might be a little bit more unique. Though some not so distant relatives have been known to celebrate Christmas in the summer as well, just to sneak some of those things back in. What makes Christmas, Christmas? Actually, all of those things, whether they're these things that are on this bit of paper, or whether they were that long list of things that people at work came up with, make Christmas special for different people in different ways. And just like those wishes that were at the tail at Mottisfont, we're all different and we all like different things. Each of us perhaps has memories of things that happened at Christmas when we were a child, the thing that we look forward to most happening. But what if that was all that it was about? If it was just about those things, then surely we'd have given up a little bit by now, wouldn't we? I mean, does anybody really like fighting for that last Brussels sprout tree in the supermarket just so that the vegetable box can be ticked on Christmas Day dinner? Is that what Christmas is about for you? Well, we're going to sing a song and then we'll have a look into one special bag and see if we can find out a little bit more about what makes Christmas, Christmas. So let's stand together as we sing, "See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw." Take a seat. Now, here is one very special and slightly old-looking bag now. Here's my Christmas stocking from when I was a little boy. It is huge, isn't it? That's why I used to get toilet rolls and kitchen rolls for Christmas, just to pad it up and fill it out. And my mum was very proud of the year she bought me a red car washing bucket for some reason as well. Bizarre, wonderful things that we get. So we're going to have a look inside my stocking and see if we can find something that will help us to understand what makes Christmas, Christmas. My arms ain't even long enough. Is there anything in here? Can you find anything? Can you feel anything in there? Have a bit of a feel. There's only a couple of things. You can feel things. Let's see. Okay.
Can I try?
Have a try. Have a feel. Okay. Oh, mind your head. Whoa. I'm being strong. Okay. Oh, I think you might be right. Let's see if we could. Can you put your hands in and see if you can pull out an egg? Find the egg. I'm gonna stick. Oh.
Have we got?
It is an egg. Can I have the egg then? Did anybody else get an Easter egg in their Christmas stocking?
Me!
Really? You got an Easter egg in your Christmas stocking?
I have a
Ben
hand.
Do you? Here is an Easter egg. Perhaps not the thing that perhaps you think about at Christmas. When do we have our Easter eggs? The clue's in the title.
Easter.
There are lots of animals born in spring, aren't there? Well, we don't really know when baby Jesus was born, but we celebrate it today, don't we? But eggs like this one. Can you see what's... Pardon?
A chicken goes in it.
A chicken goes in it?
Yeah.
You won't fit in that. You're much too big. You didn't come from this egg, did you? Oh, you're not a real chicken, are you? So we have our egg to remind us of new life. Remarkably, in our house, we still have genuine, real chocolate Easter eggs left. But the egg reminds us of new life, that Jesus was no ordinary baby, but that he was the Son of God. Now, we've got one more thing that's hidden in here. That's Lurs's Easter egg. I'd keep your hands off it. Hold on. It's teeny tiny. See if you can find anything else in there.
It's not an Easter egg.
It is an Easter egg. It is. What have you found? Here is a little cross. Again, perhaps not an obvious Christmas symbol, but actually it's something that helps us think about what Christmas is really about. There were lots of people that didn't like what Jesus said when he grew up, and they put him to death on the cross. We've got a much bigger one up there. But again, that's part of what we remember at Christmas. So we've got an Easter egg to remind us of new life. We've got the cross to remind us that Jesus had to die. And then, what's in here? Is there anything else? Have a good rummage around. Try not to eat each other. You just do a double check. Anything in there? No. Okay, out you come then. No, definitely. Look, we'll turn it inside out just to make sure. It's completely, completely empty. Well, the empty bag reminds us that on Easter Day, the tomb where they had put Jesus to lie was also empty. And the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't stay dead, but after 3 days, he came back to life, and he's alive today. So when we ask that question, what makes Christmas Christmas? Well, actually, the answer is Easter. Because without Easter, we'd just be celebrating the birth of a baby. And that, as these people demonstrate, is a fairly regular occurrence. Especially in this church. Even a special baby like God's Son wouldn't have had the significance that it does without Easter. Because without Easter, we wouldn't be able to have a relationship with God. The Bible tells us that as a result of our sin, the things that we do wrong are turning away from God. We can't have a relationship with him. There was nothing that we could do to put that relationship right again. And so God chose to send his son, Jesus, into the world to pay the price for the things that we have done wrong and to take the punishment for ours, so that we could be forgiven. Because Easter happened, we can now, if we choose, have a relationship with God. For that to happen, we need to be prepared to admit that we've done things wrong. We need to ask God's forgiveness. And when we do that, God promises that there's a place for us in heaven. It is that promise that something is going to happen in the future, that for me and perhaps for you, and I pray for all of us, is that incredible part of Christmas. We often talk in church, don't we, about putting the real meaning of Christmas back into Christmas. As those in the past have said, Christmas without Christ is just M&S. But it isn't just about remembering, as the Easter egg perhaps shows us, that Jesus was born and celebrating that. We need to understand that God sent his Son into the world as a baby for a reason. Christmas without Easter is a bit like a Kinder egg without the surprise. It's nice, you might enjoy the chocolate, but there's a sense that something is missing. Remembering, as we do today, and also as we do at Easter, whether we're celebrating the birth or the fact that Jesus died and rose again, just to remember isn't enough. Remembering in the middle of the night that you need to take the turkey out of the freezer and then falling back asleep doesn't end up with a turkey being ready for Christmas lunch. Remembering that Jesus was born and then doing nothing about it is also not enough. The events that are recorded in the Bible and that we as a church celebrate demand a response from us. Just as a gift only becomes a gift when you actually receive it, so God's forgiveness is only known if we actually accept it. Now, is there anybody that hasn't managed to unwrap all of their Christmas presents yet? There's a few people. There's a shy hand up at the back. I might not have done. And you see, I suspect for those presents that are there, if you've seen the wrapping, there's some hope, isn't there? You hope that that present that was on the wish list is going to be wrapped up under the tree, perhaps waiting for you when you get home. Is it something exciting? Is it the thing that you've asked for? Will it this year be the thing that doesn't need the gift receipt? Well, no matter how confident you might be that there's something there that you're going to like, I'm sure there's just a little bit of doubt in your mind. Could it be something else? Will that big box turn out to be a little bit of a disappointment? Well, God's promise and our hope in that promise is entirely different. There is no doubt. There is great certainty. And for me, that's what's so amazing about Christmas. So perhaps this is the first time that you've let yourself think about the consequences of believing that God wants to forgive you, that he wants to have a relationship with you. Perhaps, like Christmas services, you've heard it hundreds of times before, and you have that certain hope. Either way, my prayer today is this, that you understand something of God's love. The symbol of an Easter egg reminding us that he was born. His death and his cross and his resurrection from the cross. And the empty stocking reminding us of that Easter day when the tomb was empty because death has been defeated. That is what makes Christmas, Christmas. That's so much more, isn't it, than a wish on a pheasant's tail, on the presents that are under the tree, of the time with family or the open fire. And so in the days that come, and as we go into 2018, may you know, and may it make a difference in your life, the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and finish together this morning as we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. They worshipped Christ, the newborn King. Let us do the same. Yeah. So we finish, a reminder of those words that we started with. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Father God, we thank you for the message of Christmas, but we also know that it needed Easter as well. We thank you that you have, through Jesus' death and his resurrection, forgiven us of our sins so that we can call you Abba Father. And we pray that as we go and we celebrate together through the rest of today, that each one of us would know that you are the true and living God, that today is not just another day, that Jesus wasn't just another baby, but that he was the ultimate gift given to us that we might know you as our Lord and Savior. We pray through Jesus' name, the name which is above every name, the name which has all power. Amen. Again, enjoy a great Christmas, and we look forward to seeing you with us again soon.